Thank you so much. I'll ask our speakers all to come up and join us at the table. Perhaps you can bring an extra chair and we'll get Hannah to join us too. I'd like to give a belated welcome to Hannah and wish her the best at med school in the fall. So thank you so much. Dr. Visanji, I found that very interesting, particularly the discussion of systematic review. I could see some pained smiles of familiarity with the process of weeding through a systematic review articles, particularly from that corner over there. And the perspectives of students, I think, is particularly appropriate given the topic of this panel is education. So that was wonderful as well. So what I'd like to do is I'll invite people to come up and ask questions. Go ahead. And while you mobilize and articulate your questions for yourself, maybe I'll get us started. So one of the things that's come to mind over the day talking about partnerships is that it's somewhat intimidating. So for students, there's quite a few students in the audience, and lots of students often come to these conferences who are interested in doing good global health work and really having positive impacts. It can be very intimidating discussions about time investment and developing networks. Can you comment on lessons learned or advice for students who would really like to break into this type of area, want to know where to start, and want to really try and make the most positive mutual contribution possible?
We'll pass to Hannah first, and then we can certainly add.
Well, I think just as we study social context of social determinants of health, there's also a sort of a social context of partnerships, maybe. As we spoke to Indian partners, we learned that, you know, there's different ways of communicating and different ways of addressing the same issue. So that was a big thing for me to learn, and maybe it's something that students could keep in mind in the future, just coming to everything with an open mind and learning experience. So, sorry if that's not the best answer.
I think that, and I'll let my colleague add to that, but as a person who's committed to building capacity of young researchers, we need to invest more time at the very beginning. We need to sort of account for what it means in terms of motivation. We just had our trainers who went to Morocco and Burkina Faso yesterday. And it almost didn't happen because we didn't have responses from the Ministry of Health. And so we have to be willing to go through the administrative hurdles in the partner countries to accept our students in working in various areas. And that certainly is an issue of motivation. And then there is, of course, the financial issue, certainly that, you know, I'm sure you've talked about all day and that we need to look into in terms of scholarship and having a program that is sensitive to the needs of, at the same time being sensitive to migration and to global health. So in order to attract on both ways, I think we need to also be aware within our own program, in our own universities, that we are open through our program. So it has to reflect.
In the clinical area, I think a partnership is profitable for both sides. As in anesthesiology, residents from Canada may learn from Rwanda because they are sometimes exposed to sophisticated tools and they forget about clinical sciences. And residents from Rwanda, they may learn from Canada as those different tools are very well useful for them, but even if they don't have it, but they can use them to learn about physiology and clinical application of their knowledge. Or they maybe when they return to Rwanda or in the developing country where they are from, they can do an advocacy to the Minister of Finance and to the Minister of Health to get some skills or tools who will be crucial for a crucial need for their practice, so that they can improve skills and safety of the patient.
Tim?
Thank you for some great talk. So one of the most interesting things I heard today was that you can't get anesthesiologists because they all want to go into public health. And for those of us from the States and Canada, what a wonderful change. But I do appreciate the importance of anesthesiologists. And I'm just curious, and it gets back to what Basim was talking about and Billick and others about sort of the structural components that need to be in there too. How are you trying to sort of get people to go into the subspecialty cares when there is this drive, you know, there's all this PEPFAR money and all this other resources going into public health, yet at the same time you have to take care of people. And so how at a country level are you thinking about those kinds of issues and how you might get the balance right?
I think it's a task for the government to try to find a way how it may interest some more and more medical students in the clinical areas. Maybe they can solve the problem by raising the pay for those persons involved in clinical areas, but also they can ameliorate tools and diagnostic tools and therapeutic tools so that people may feel comfortable in working in clinical area. I think it is one of the reasons. Even the reason is the payment, but also the lack of therapeutic and diagnostic tools is an important issue to take into account to get more medical students in clinical areas.
Okay, thank you. Not only do we have to thank our presenters and our panel for wonderful presentations, but also for the fact that they kept strictly and spectacularly to their time, and in fact, almost caught us up to our regular schedule. So please join me in giving a double thank you to our panelists. And in order to save the remaining time that we've lost, Tim Brewer has agreed to reduce his two-hour concluding remarks to a much shorter period to let you out in a decent time. So I'll pass you back to Tim.
So I don't get to show my 37 slides. So I just wanted to, once again, to thank all our speakers and moderators for really an outstanding day. When I round in the hospitals with the residents and medical students, I tell them we have to learn one thing every day. If we haven't learned one thing, we haven't accomplished our goals for the day. And to be honest, that one thing doesn't even have to do anything to do with medicine. So for example, one of the things I've taught them is how to distinguish a shark shadow from a dolphin shadow. Does anyone know how to do that? So you see this big thing in the water going through. It's got a dorsal fin. So you're all going to get eaten. Okay. Now, so sharks have vertical tails, and they swim like this. Dolphins, being mammals, have horizontal tails, and they swim like that. And it just, you know, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, other than the importance of learning. And I've learned so much, and so I really, once again, want to thank all my speakers and moderators for that. I want to thank you all for coming out, because a big part of why we do this is to interact with you and to learn from you. And we've been talking about partnerships with our colleagues internationally, but we also need to be talking about partnerships with our students, with our colleagues around the city, and their partnerships in the broadest sense. And finally, I want to thank Rosario Camargo, who I don't know where she's hiding, but without whom's help, all of this wouldn't have been possible. So a big hand for Rosario. Great. Thank you. Thank you again very much for coming.